from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
I'm not going to lie, dude. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I watched that 49ers game last night. In the NFC Championship game, I'm not going to sit here and tell you like, oh yeah, you know what? I thought the entire time they had it.
They got it.
The entire, oh yeah, no, I just knew it was going to work out as a line. No, man, I was sitting there at halftime. I'm talking to our friend of the show, Nick Wagner from ESPN. I'm talking to him at halftime, and we're talking about how he's excited that he doesn't have to do 8 days in Vegas, and how, you know, hey, the Niners have a first round pick this year, and we're doing this and that, because I can't remember a football game that I've watched where a team got dominated in the way the 49ers got dominated in the first half, where they are able to turn the tide enough to come back and win. I didn't necessarily think they were going to go lose by 34 points, but I didn't see a path where, like, yeah, hey, they're going to bounce back and play well enough to overcome a 17-point deficit. And then the Lions just fell apart.
Kyle, the Lions dominated the 49ers on both sides of the line.
Kicked their ass.
Their line, I mean, you talked about this before. The way that their line dominated early was just stunning.
They owned the entire game.
But then I was watching the Niners linebackers kept flying up and just crushing their running backs.
Mm-hmm.
One after another after another. They just kept hitting them so hard. And I was thinking, the one way you might be able to get back in this is if those guys get a little gun shy. If they're not the same as they are right now. Because it's one thing if you're dominating on the line.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing if the guy is sitting there scanning, looking at the hole, but scanning what's waiting for him on the other side.
Right, that little hesitation.
That little tiny hesitation. Mm-hmm. And I felt that by the end of it. Like, those guys were waiting to get popped. And I just think, you know, to watch the tide shift in a game like that,
mm-hmm.
It's stunning because it doesn't usually happen like that. But
not that dramatically.
No, the team that came out in the second half was just so different. And I'd even say I would have wanted Shanahan to do what Dan Campbell did and go for it on fourth down early in the second half in the third quarter when they kicked the field goal. It's like, man, you're down way too much to be kicking field goals now.
Yeah.
You need to go get that thing right now.
Yeah.
But no, that's not what he did. Like, very, very impressive the way they just took over the second half and dominated.
Yeah, they went about it. And we'll talk plenty about Dan Campbell and all that jazz. Yeah. And if you want to jump in, 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320 if you want to jump in on the conversation. We'll talk plenty about Dan Campbell and his fourth down decisions and all that jazz. We've got 2 hours to do this. But what you just mentioned about the 49ers taking that field goal at the beginning of the third quarter, I was with you. I'm sitting there going, at the time, I'm going, you have to go for this.
Mm-hmm.
It is, you can't guarantee you're going to get stops. You can't be trading field goals for touchdowns here. But zooming out now that the game is over and watching how it all played out, that was a team in San Francisco that's been in this spot before, that was at home, that, okay, you get the field goal, it's down to 14. Now can you get a stop? Okay, you get a stop, you go score. Okay, now it's 7. Instead of in that spot, you go for it. I think it was a 4th and 6, whatever it was. You don't get it, and now the Lions go down and score. Now the game's over.
Yeah, the game would have been over.
So it was a very methodical belief in what they were doing offensively, what they were going to do defensively in the second half, that the Lions didn't have. The Lions did not stick to what got them there. They abandoned the run almost entirely in the second half. Totally inexplicable.
Totally wild.
The Lions before, this is via ESPN, before the 13-yard run that Jahmyr Gibbs had late in the first half, where they had a 3rd and 12, overloaded the right side, and then just handed it off to the left side, and he easily had a first down. Before that run, they were averaging 6 yards per carry before contact.
Mm.
They were getting 6 yards down the field before anybody hit them.
Wow.
And I don't understand why they went away from it, but they panicked. They didn't know how to play in that spot, and the 49ers never did. And you want to talk about luck in a game? Like, yeah, man, luck plays a huge role in it.
Yeah.
In every sport. And there were so many plays. I went through on Niners Wire this morning, and I wrote the 9 plays that define the comeback. And so many of them are like drop pass, dropped pass breakup, where Brandon Ayuk makes a diving catch. But let's go to that play. The 51-yard diving catch off of Kendall Vildor's face mask.
Yeah.
Here's my thing with it. I've heard everybody going, oh, well, he dropped an interception. That would have been an incredible catch if he made it. But here's the deal. Kendall Vildor's not a good player. He's not. He's not a good player. The Lions secondary was going to be a problem for them. And you saw it in that moment where he has the ball go off his face mask, and then Brandon Ayuk, who's one of the, I don't know, 8 best receivers in the league?
Yep.
There's people way smarter than me who are not Niner fans who have him as a top 3 guy. I don't put him there, but let's say comfortably top 10.
Yes.
And he made a diving, incredible play, and it's like, dude, yeah, that's how sports work. One team made plays, and the other one didn't. And so you can talk about how lucky the 49ers were. You can talk about how good or bad Brock Purdy was. You can talk about how Dan Campbell's 4th down decisions played a role. I totally, sure. But EOD, the 49ers made plays and the Lions did not. And now the 49ers are going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely spectacular. I mean, and again, even the first half, it felt like bad luck. Even like the Purdy interception, he got high-fived. Right, and that's why that ball doesn't get to Debo. Maybe it doesn't make it there anyways.
Sure,
that's possible. Mm-hmm. But the reason it got picked was very specific. Where you watch what happened in the Ravens game, like Lamar Jackson throws a bad pass, it gets batted up in the air. He runs and catches it and takes off for 13 yards. It's absolutely unreal. At one point, he was like, "They're." Top passer, their top rusher, and their 2nd leading wide receiver. I'm like, what is happening here?
For sure, man.
But that luck plays such a huge role in any run to the Super Bowl. It just does.
Yeah.
Like whether it's health or whether it's like one specific play that happens, it changes everything. And, you know, I don't know. The reason why a defensive back isn't a wide receiver is because he doesn't usually know how to catch the ball very well. He's not good at that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
He's just good at like running with a wide receiver.
Yeah.
And that's typically why somebody is a DB. I mean, there on occasion, there are some great pass catching defensive backs, but those things happen. And good for Ayuk to stay in the play.
That's the play. That was the important part of that play.
Yes.
Like I said, I keep hearing people say that was a cornerback who did well to stay on top of Ayuk and stay in front of him and not let him get behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Great job by Vildor. But then he's turning around. Ayuk's got a hand up. The ball's coming down while he is sprinting backwards. He's trying to turn his body and get his hands up. It's not crazy that he didn't catch it. What is crazy is that Ayuk did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it's like that was a 49ers play making a play in that moment. And it because of, I mean, the job we do and because of the internet, the discourse on that play is, well, almost Brock Purdy almost threw an interception. Instead, it's his longest completion of the night. Like, sure, okay. But it went down for a completion. Let's talk about the game.
Yep.
And in the scope of the game, that was a huge moment, and that was a player on the 49ers making a play when the Lions player didn't. And that's just what happened continually.
Yes.
All night.
In the second half.
In the second half.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, 24-7 at the half. And I got to be honest. Like, I text you. Like, I don't know that Kyle Shanahan is a coach who can get you over the hump.
Which may be the case. Still,
like, well,
we'll I'm going to say February 11th.
So, like, because we got in this conversation on D'Lo and Casey last week, and they thought it was like blasphemous for me to question the fact, you know, you're talking about a guy who's going to the NFC Championship game for four times in 5 years. And it's like, yeah, but at a certain point, do you have to get a team over the hump? For me, getting a team over the hump is getting to the Super Bowl. Like, I don't have an imaginary list of all the championships the Niners should have. That's for Kenny. Kenny has that list. I think it's at 12, and it will now be 13.
Can I pause you right there? I want to continue you to continue your thought. This one doesn't count. They had no business winning that game.
Oh, I don't know if it counts or not. I'm just going to tell you.
I don't know which one counts and which one doesn't. This one won't count.
Is like spectacular. It is. And he can go through each game, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, if you get to the Super Bowl, man, it's one play, it's one thing. Like, you don't know, one team shows up, one team doesn't. Like, that's the Super Bowl is just a coin flip, and I'm not gonna trash a coach who gets you to the Super Bowl. There's a big thing about you got to get to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get over the hump and get there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't, then we need to talk.
Sure,
he got them there. So, like, by hook or by crook, they found a way to win. And if not, this conversation would have been totally different today, Kyle.
Yeah, that I would have been right there.
Just so you know, I would have been. You would be like shocked and awed. I would have been calling for Bill Belichick today. Man. If they
kind of wish they had lost now.
If that game would have continued to 24-7 at half,
James flamethrower.
Yeah, let's say
James
if it, there we go. Let's say they lose 38-17 or 38-21. That's where I'm going. Because at a certain point, like, a coach has to get you there.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's not Brock Purdy that was 0-30 when trailing by 7 going into the fourth quarter. And I know that's a stupid stat, but it's not Brock Purdy that was 0-30. It's Kyle Shanahan that was 0-30.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need to figure out how to win a game when it's on the line. And that's not just a quarterback issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's a coaching issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but that's not the conversation we're having today, Kyle.
Man,
today we're celebrating.
I cannot believe that happened last night. Like I said, they were just getting dominated so thoroughly.
Yeah,
I didn't see a path forward, and I said it on Twitter, X, whatever. It's they don't have the horses today. The Lions are just better, and
then they weren't.
Once Jahmyr Gibbs fumbled, and Arik Armstead recovered it, Sacramento zone. When I'm sitting, it was like they're not losing.
No,
the crowd was on their side. You could tell the Lions had tightened up. Jahmyr Gibbs didn't get another carry after that. He didn't have a touch the rest of the game.
That's just foolish.
He's so electric.
So foolish.
Fumbles once and he's done for the game. We got to talk about Brock Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
We got to talk about Dan Campbell.
Oh yeah.
We got to talk about Jake Moody.
Maybe.
There's tons to dive into with the NFC Championship game. We will be doing that today. We will also look back on the Kings' win over the Mavs this weekend. We will also look ahead to their game tonight against the Memphis Grizzlies. Tons going on 1320 today. I'm Kyle. He's James. We're the Insiders. We've got you locked in until noon before we hand off to D'Lo and Casey. Plenty more of the Insiders coming up next, though, on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Should have just commandeered six quick thoughts.
Just yeah,
got it for that game last night.
You should just go for it. I don't care.
I don't. I can't.
Six quick thoughts.
I can't do it off the dome. I need to prepare a little bit, but the Brock Purdy stuff from last night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already sick of it.
Yeah.
What does a guy need to do, man? Like, I genuinely. So, okay. Can he come from behind? He does that against the Packers. But okay, that was the number 7 seed Packers, and they fired their defensive coordinator. Okay. You're on 17 at halftime of the NFC title game and just calmly play mostly mistake-free. Did he miss a couple throws? Like, yeah. But every quarterback misses throws. Newsflash. Did his longest completion bounce off a defender's face? Like, yeah. No doubt. 1,000%.
Mm-hmm.
But he made a couple of big-time throws. The touchdown throw to Ayuk was a really nice play. Good movement in the pocket, finding a throwing lane, letting his receiver get open. His 2 21-yard scrambles. I was listening to a podcast on the way in, and the analysis of the scrambles was like, oh, man, put Benny Hill music over that. Like, what are you talking about? What are we doing here, man? I'm not trying, and this is what sucks. I don't think Purdy was awesome. He was fine. But this analysis that he was somehow awful and the 49ers overcame this terrible quarterbacking is nuts. On the scramble play, that's a pocket collapsing, quarterback sneaking out. On the one play, he beats a safety and outran a safety for 21 yards to put his team deep in the red zone to set up a touchdown.
Yep.
And then the next one, they had a spy. Middle linebacker, Alex Anzalone, good player, is spying Brock Purdy, standing in the middle of the field waiting for him to take off, and he beats the linebacker to the edge and goes for 21 yards. That set up McCaffrey's 25-yard run. Elijah Mitchell scores one play later. The game's over. Like, that's just a player making winning plays, and I don't know what happened and at what point that stopped mattering.
I agree 100%, Kyle. I'm watching the game, and you know what's next? We got 2 weeks until the Super Bowl.
I already hate it.
You know what's coming next. What's coming next is that Patrick Mahomes had to go through Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson to get to the Super Bowl. And Brock Purdy went through two much lesser quarterbacks to get to the Super Bowl. That's what's coming next. That's how this thing is going to shift. Oh, well, let's be honest here. He really hasn't beat anyone yet. Well, it doesn't matter. You play the team that's in front of you. And for me, when a quarterback comes in, you know, when he gets his team in a position to win, mm-hmm. and I don't think it was him who put the team in a position to lose. I thought their defense was god-awful early.
They were terrible.
No tackling at all. Mm-hmm. The long touchdown by the
Jameson Williams.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, on the first drive.
What in the world was happening?
It was a joke.
But then you go to the Chiefs-Ravens game. The tackling was so spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time a guy caught a ball in the flat, down.
Yeah.
Every time a guy goes to break, down. Mm-hmm. The 49ers need to be prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that there runs after the catch against the Chiefs might not happen. Mm-hmm. So you're going to need Brock Purdy looking to the second and third layer of the defense the whole mm-hmm. time. You're going to need that because there isn't a whole bunch of break and loose things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that for me, I don't think there's any way that he's not just going to get dragged. If he wins a Super Bowl, I feel like there's going to be some sort of excuse, whether it's McCaffrey goes for 185 yards and or someone bails him mm-hmm. out in some way. Man, I thought he was good. The play where he ducks the guy that wrapped around his head and then
God.
He found Juszczyk down the sidelines for that beautiful pass and catch, like that was spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the throw to Juwan Jennings. Like, I don't care what... I don't care. That was...
It was so
absolutely spectacular. Well, no, because he could see the field. He knew where he could throw the ball, where the only one that could catch that ball was Jennings.
Yeah.
Like, I'm okay with it. Like, quarterbacks have been getting away with this forever. Like, it's the cardinal rule. I get it. But, I mean, Brett Favre made his entire career out of doing things like that. Mahomes does all kinds of wacky things.
When Mahomes does that, we're talking about what a dazzling display of improvisation by Patrick Mahomes. And I get like, this is, again, this is the problem with this conversation. Brock Purdy and Patrick Mahomes are not on the same tier.
No.
In any realm. I'm not trying to say that. You're not trying to say that. But it's the analysis of Purdy where that's now a bad play, even though it went for 8 yards and a first down and helped set up a field goal that wound up being crucial in the game. Even though that happened, it's like, yeah, but I mean, really, the goalposts move. And I understand that, again, he's not Patrick Mahomes. I understand he doesn't have that track record. He doesn't even have Lamar Jackson's track record. Like, he doesn't have an MVP in this league, much less a second one coming. I fully understand all that. But at some point, the thought needs to stop of like, oh, well, he got away with it. Like, no, man, he just made a great play.
Yeah.
And that's the point. Like, that's the goal of the sport, is to continue making good plays. And Mina Kimes said this on the right time with Bomani Jones, and I couldn't agree more with her. Where you rank Brock Purdy doesn't matter. The 49ers needed to upgrade over Jimmy Garoppolo, and they have done that.
Mm-hmm.
They have a quarterback who is capable of making plays outside the structure of the offense, which was a massive, massive problem for them in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago, in the Super Bowl 4 years ago against the same Chiefs team. And now they have a quarterback who can do a little bit of stuff out of structure. And it's like, okay, is he going to carry them to a Super Bowl? Probably not. He's probably not going to throw for 340 and four touchdowns. That is very unlikely to happen. But can he extend enough plays, convert enough third downs? Can he get the ball to the right spots, avoid turning it over, and help a good team get over this hump that they've not been able to get over since 1994? Yeah, man. He's good enough to do that. And that's all that matters.
Kyle, he's 4-1 in the playoffs.
That's pretty good.
And the one game, he blew out his elbow in the first quarter.
Yeah, on the first drive.
Yeah, he blew out his elbow, and that's why he's not potentially 5-0, or potentially 5-1, or potentially 6-0.
Sure.
Like, we don't know what would have happened if he didn't blow out his elbow. So,
right. Like,
look, at some point, you have to understand, he's a second-year player. Take away the fact that he's the final pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
He's a second-year quarterback who wasn't even expected to do anything last year and only started half the season.
Not even.
At some point, we just have to accept that this is where he's going as a player. You know, and it's really weird that we just keep getting caught in this loop where so many people doubt. But just enjoy the ride. Like, every other quarterback gets this. I mean, we're waiting for Trevor Lawrence, like Golden Boy, to actually win something.
Yeah.
You know, how about Josh Allen? How about you win something?
Mm-hmm.
Like, these guys, and now you got a kid who is winning things.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say, oh, it's this or that. Well, man, he kept them a little bit afloat while that defense was horrible. And then he marched them again and again and again in the second half.
And the goal of the sport is not to be the best quarterback or to outplay the other quarterback. The goal of the sport's to win.
Yeah.
And that's what the 49ers did last night. And that's what Brock Purdy helped them do last night. How much of the pie you want to give him, I don't, that's up to you to decide. But for me, he certainly gets a piece of the pie.
Yeah. I would also,
he gets a slice of it.
I get what you're saying, Kyle. But I'll also tell you, like we talk about, he's not the same athlete that Mahomes is. He doesn't do the things that Mahomes does. Well, gotta be honest, man. Joe Montana was nowhere near as good as a passer as Dan Marino. He just wasn't.
Sure. Marino might be the best passer ever.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And Joe Montana won 4 Super Bowls. He's a better quarterback in the annals of of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And we can keep going about all these other quarterbacks, Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Tom Brady's got all the rings.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that matters in the end, man. Who's got the rings? Mm-hmm. Who wins when it matters?
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we get to see Brock Purdy show up in a big game again and see what happens.
I'll tell you what, though. Speaking of showing up big in games that matter, Patrick Mahomes going to 6 consecutive AFC title games in 4 of the last 6 Super Bowls is insane.
It's wild.
I know that the Tom Brady thing has changed the perspective a little bit on what it means to be great at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But 6 straight conference title games by itself is like, wow, what an accomplishment. To go to 4 Super Bowls and with like different versions of your team.
Totally different versions.
Yeah. You lose Tyreek Hill and you win a Super Bowl and then go to another one. Patrick Mahomes is, he is on a meteoric path, and he's not even 30.
No, it's wild. I mean, again, we talk about, so I've had him in fantasy football since his first year as a starter.
Right.
And just watching him all the time, it's just amazing. Especially this year, by far the best job he ever did.
They weren't even good.
No.
And they're in the Super Bowl.
Somehow he's turned that receiving core, which was flat out trash.
Yeah.
Somehow he has found a way, whatever it is, I don't know what has happened there, but to make that receiving core into something.
That catch by MVS to seal the game yesterday?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Marcus Valdes-Scantling of all people?
He would have dropped that like 80% of the time during the regular season.
And just cash money in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
I mean, the fact that Rice is such a valuable player for that team, and he's a rookie, and you've created that guy.
Just figured it out.
Yeah, super impressive.
Man, something named Watson. Justin Watson?
Something.
I don't even know. And he's number 84 on the Chiefs. Every time I look up, he's catching a first down.
Yeah.
Like, what?
He was dropping those first downs. Every time you looked up, he was dropping one in week three.
What a wild, wild run the Chiefs are on.
Yeah.
And then we'll meet the 49ers again in the Super Bowl at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. Brock Purdy wasn't the only player to play on offense for the 49ers last night. We got a ton of other stuff to get to from this game. We'll dive into the Kings action from the weekend as well and begin looking ahead to their game against the Memphis Grizzlies tonight. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I need a very delicate conversation real quick.
Okay.
I am very pro trash talk in sports.
Oh yeah,
I love trash talk.
I played volleyball for years.
Oh, you just chirping out there
all day long,
right up at the net,
all day long chirping. No, it's usually when you dig somebody and you just like, oh, that was easy.
When you do what to somebody?
Somebody hits a ball and you dig it, you pop it back up.
Okay,
you get a set, you hit it. It's like the whole time you're like, oh, that's too easy.
Okay.
All day long.
That was. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, CJ Gardner-Johnson. He and Deebo Samuel have been going back and forth for months now. Really since Deebo got paid. And they've just kind of been going back and forth on Instagram and Twitter, whatever social media. last night, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, after the Lions went ahead 20-7 with just under 6 minutes to go in the second quarter, is waving goodbye to 49ers fans. Showing on camera, waving goodbye. Why would you do that?
Because you want to be a meme?
Why would you do that?
I mean, you're the Lions, man. You're the Lions.
Right. And I don't, like, not that, and again, objectively, like, okay, let me get inside my reality brain here. I know that didn't affect the game. The 49ers didn't see that and go, you know what, we're going to try now. That's not how it went.
Maybe they did, though, in the locker room. Maybe somebody showed them a video. Hey, I want to show you this. Put it on the screen, like, oh my goodness.
I think that'd be more believable if they weren't, like, you know, huddled around whiteboards and making adjustments and stuff at halftime. But I don't think that objectively, like, in my conscious brain, my right brain, oh boy.
Hey,
here we go.
Come on, here man, we give go. Me some of this, here man. Come on, man. Come on.
Kenny's
Let's
here.
Let's go, Ham. I see you, boy.
What's going on,
Let's
Kenny?
Kenny's here.
Got his Jerry. Got his Jerry Rice jersey on. His video.
I hope Kenny comes in for the handoff today.
His video earlier on Sunday morning was spectacular.
Oh my God, doing his Trent and Debo dances and his linebacker,
like, walking down the sidewalk by the trash can.
noon to four. D'Lo and Casey is going to be electric today. So this is my favorite shows are the ones where D'Lo starts a show and just says, all right, go ahead. And Kenny just lets it rip, and D'Lo sits there quietly, just observing
what's happening.
I can't wait. Where was I? CJ Gardner-Johnson. Yeah, so I get in my conscious brain that, like, him waving goodbye did not change a game. But in my brain that believes in superstition and stuff, why would you tempt fate, dude? Like, why not? Hey, you know what? That's great. The wave goodbye, that's what Debo did to the Eagles fans. Has this huge game, scores the nail in the coffin touchdown, and he's running back to the sideline. He's waving goodbye as people are leaving.
Yep.
Great taunt. Great taunt. A-plus execution. So CJ Gardner-Johnson wants to... I think he goes by CJ now. It was Chauncey going into the draft.
He's CJ is now. Much better.
CJ, easier name for sure. He's trying to do the same thing, and I respect it. Like, I get it. That's a great... But wait until it's 34-7 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay,
three
this thing's sealed
left.
Up. Right. Yeah. This thing's sealed up. I'm gonna wave goodbye as people start leaving.
It's like when the Kings fans start to light the beam chant with 6 minutes left. You're like, no, 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 stop. No, 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 no. What are we doing?
Yeah, like, it's an 8-point game.
Light the beam. You're like, no, man, this is not the time for light the beam. Yeah.
Yeah, that was just a trash talking mishap, dude. And I get sometimes people make declarations or they do some trash talking, it blows up in their face, and that's always funny, right? Everybody yep. loves that. I just don't get it in this instance. It's a 2-score game with 6 minutes left in the second quarter. Not even the third quarter.
I love talking trash, man, I'm telling you. I was playing in a softball game and we beat this team.
This is so funny.
And this this guy who, like, you know, he's an iron worker, you know, he tough guy who chews and spits all over the field the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
He's walking out of line, we're giving high fives. He goes, can't believe we lost to those losers. And I said, that's twice. He goes, what was that? I said, that's twice you've lost to us.
Got him.
He goes, I'll see you in the parking lot. And I said, nope.
Yes.
We got another playoff game. After this one, you'll be in the parking lot, but we got another game because we won and you didn't. And so we got to go play again. So, I mean, like, look, I'm down. I'm down to, like, I'm in. But to do it in, no. You don't do that, like, in the fourth inning. Oh, yeah, we're whooping you. Like, no, what are you doing?
Yeah, I don't.
No.
But even that, like, hey, we're kicking your ass. Like, yeah, they were. Like, they were dominating that game.
Yep.
But the whole, hey, goodbye. Like, nobody was leaving. man.
I feel bad for all the Lions fans crying in the stands.
I would have been sick, dude. Like, view that from the other perspective. You're a Lions fan. You've been waiting your entire life for this. If you're my age, if you were 33, you have never seen the Lions in this big of a game. And you fly cross country. My buddy Jim, who works for the Odyssey station in Detroit, hit me up like, hey, how you feeling about the game? Da, 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 da. He's like, yeah, they're altering flights. They're adding more flights. They're changing the size of planes flying from. There are people, and they showed out. Like, they were there. And you fly out, and you get there, and you're partying. I saw a guy in a Charlie Batch Lions jersey. Good for him.
What? Love
that. Yeah, I took a photo. And they're out there, and you're up 24-7, and you were just dominant.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going, there's no, I'm here, we're vibing, we're going to win. Oh, my God. And then 24-10, like, yeah, I held them to a field goal. Go down, score again, put this one away. Okay, dropped fourth down. Like, okay, a little tight, but that's okay. You know, he's still up two touchdowns. Get a stop here. They've not been able to. Oh, now there's the 51-yarder. And now it's like, uh-oh, now it's tight.
Mm.
But you get the touchdown, okay. You're still up seven. Vibes are still okay. Just go down and score. Make it a two-score game. Fumble. First play. Niners recover. Like, oh, God. I would have been despondent. I would have been out of that stadium so fast. I saw people hanging out after the game, watching the post-game celebration. I saw people at the post-game tailgate. Nah, you couldn't have paid me to be out there.
The second he fumbled the ball,
I'd have been sick.
The game was over.
Toast.
Like, absolutely.
Dunzo.
Like, I like, without any question, I'm like, oh, my goodness, they're somehow going to win this game. Are you kidding me? They're somehow going to win this game.
Yep.
And then a couple of plays later, touchdown.
Yeah, and that was the thing, is there was such a like deer in headlights look at that point from the Lions, because I always thought the Niners were going to be able to move the ball. I was very surprised they only had 7 points at halftime.
Yeah.
And I always thought, like, okay, their offense is going to get going. It's just about whether they can get stops. And so they get the fourth down drop from Josh Reynolds, the first one. It's like, okay, they go down and score. It's like, okay, there's one. And then they get the fumble, and it's like, dude, they're going to score again.
Oh, yeah.
They're definitely scoring here. And then they go, they tie it, and that was when there were the back-to-back mistakes. You get the Josh Reynolds drop on 3rd and 9 that hit him right in the gut. I mean, just a terrible drop. But also, why are you throwing it to Josh Reynolds in a huge spot again? Weird. But that's the kind of thing, if Kyle Shanahan, if the 49ers did that, if the 49ers on 4th and 3 threw it to Juwan Jennings and he didn't catch it. And then on a 3rd and 9 threw it to Juwan Jennings again and he didn't catch it. 3rd and Juwan, right? Like all that. We would be sitting here going, why are you not throwing to Debo or Ayuk or McCaffrey or Kittle?
Yeah.
That's what we'd be saying. So, okay, so they go to Josh Reynolds, whatever, he drops it. Then their punter launches a 74-yard punt that lands on the 1, bounces straight up in the air, lands on the 2, gives Chase Lucas, I believe is his name, their cornerback who was in coverage, catches the ball and just takes it into the end zone.
Just and then he like tries to hot potato it back in, and then the next guy jumps in the end zone, jumps back out of the end zone, and even I don't even think that was legal.
Right? They botched it. There were just so many little things that the Lions did wrong, and I bring this up just to point out, like, the 49ers made the plays for sure.
Yeah.
But they did that after so many Lions mistakes. These little things, a 4th and 3 drop, a 4th and 3 drop, a 3rd and 9 drop. It was 24-24 at that point. When they had the 74-yard punt, which is crazy. If they pin the Niners at the 1 there, they have to go 99 yards to score a touchdown, or they have to go 60-plus to try and get into field goal range. That changes the complexion of the game entirely. And they just couldn't do anything right in the second half, and every time the Lions slipped up, the Niners were right there, and that's where I waffle between, you know what, the 49ers did not play well. And if the 49ers play like they did against Detroit, they're not going to beat Kansas City at all. But on the other hand, there are so many times where mistakes don't get capitalized on. And Detroit, mistake after mistake after mistake. And the 49ers never got down. They didn't stop, just kind of very slowly plodding along and chipping away at this huge Lions lead. And then by the end of it, it's 34-31, and they're hoisting the George Halas Trophy.
Okay, so if I'm a Lions fan, first of all, you have to appreciate the fact of how far your team went. This is a franchise that can't do anything right for decades,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think most Lions fans, I think there are some that are delusional and like so over the top that they don't understand that realistically your team, they got there, right? Mm-hmm. But you were on borrowed time the whole time. You should have been enjoying the ride the whole time, right?
Mm-hmm.
If and I hope the Kings fans would have felt this way too. If somehow the Kings would have beat the Warriors and made it to the second round, and all of a sudden you're playing the Lakers, who you dominated all throughout the regular season,
mm-hmm.
and you just kept winning, and somehow you made it to the Western Conference Finals, I sure do hope that most of them would not have just been like, oh man, we got this Denver Nuggets team. There's no way we're losing this. There's no way we're losing this. You're like,
I'd respect it though.
No, you're going to lose 4-1. You're going to lose 4-1, maybe 4-2 in the series,
mm-hmm.
but that's okay. Like, enjoy it. Don't,
right.
Don't wear it so much. Just like try to be in the moment and enjoy the fact that like, look where you've gone. And I can,
Okay. But at the same time, this is akin to, I think a lot of Lions fans going in, I for some reason have several friends from the internet who live in Detroit or from Detroit.
That's weird.
And are Lions fans. It's very strange. It's like four or five people I know who are Lions
fans. You have them in one chat that's like the Motown chat?
Nah.
Come on. Definitely not. Kyle.
I probably should, but it's fine. and they were all like, think it's kind of a coin flip type of game, but you know, not really confident they're going to win, but you know, happy they're there, da-da-da-da. So I think that's how probably a lot of Kings fans would be going into your situation against the Nuggets, right? But now imagine the Kings go up 3-0 in the series and then lose the series.
Yeah,
that's kind of what happened.
That's
kind of what happened.
It is at least 2-0. At least 2-0 and going back home,
yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. You're right. You're
and
right.
Then you split at home and you're up 3-1.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm with you.
I get it. But at the same time, I don't know. I'm looking at this Kansas City Chiefs team. They haven't been good all year. They just keep finding ways to win in crucial moments.
But that's exactly what we're saying the Niners did. So we can't say the Chiefs haven't been good. They're just figuring out ways to win. While also saying, hey, we need to be giving the Niners credit for figuring out ways to win.
No, because I would say that most of the season, that's not who the Niners were. The Niners, that's who they are today. Like, they've mm-hmm. had some struggles here, and then they find ways to beat teams with inexperienced teams. But I think at the end of the day, Kyle, that's what we're looking at, is the experienced team won.
Yeah, and I think that mattered yesterday.
It did matter. It mm-hmm. mattered. Like, the team that had been there before didn't walk a 74-yard punt into the end zone. A team who had been there before didn't, like keep ignoring a field goal kicker on their bench and going for it on fourth down. An inexperienced team didn't fumble the ball like in a crucial moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, that the experienced team didn't. Like, the inexperienced team made all of the mistakes, and that's what happens. You're inexperienced. You hadn't been there. Yep. And I know there is, you don't know what you don't know, sure, but at a certain point, you run up against a team that does know.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been there, and they've been through everything, and mm-hmm. they came out in the second half, and they punched you in the face, and you didn't have a counterpunch, and that's it. Like, they were the experienced team. They showed up in the second half. You showed up in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
The end, they were the better team.
Yeah.
So
I can't get over the Lions abandoning the run the way they did in the second half.
That's brutal.
I don't. The Niners clearly had nothing to stop it.
I was looking for that
21,
stat.
They had 8 rushes in the second half after... Cool. So in the first half, the Lions ran it 21 times for 148 yards.
Yeah.
That is 7 yards a carry, folks. Not bad. In the second half, they go 8 carries for, let's see, what's quick math? 34 yards. 8 for 34 in the second half. I don't get it. I don't understand. Jahmyr Gibbs didn't get a touch after his fumble.
Especially a team that is leading.
It was
You should have been running just to burn the clock, man. You had a big lead. What are you doing? And that's what I mean. Like, the inexperience of not just the players on the field, but even Dan Campbell. I thought, my goodness, man, how many times are you going to make a mistake as mm-hmm. a coach? And I'm looking at it like, hey, you're fun. You're the rah-rah guy. You got him here. But let somebody else make the adult decisions. Like, I thought there were so many poor decisions, whether it's running or whether it's not kicking a field goal. Like, you gotta put points on the board. That's the game. It's not to, like, play the odds.
Mm-hmm.
And while sometimes Shanahan is a little too conservative with that,
mm-hmm.
it felt like, oh, look, he just keeps putting points on the board one way or another.
Yeah,
because he knows at the end, the only thing that matters is how many points you put on the board versus how many the other team scores.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't give away points. And I felt like Dan Campbell just completely gave away points time and time again.
So here's my thing on this. I don't mind the fourth and three calls. I really don't. I get going for it. That's who they've been all year, right? And that's one of the big things is they're players. He puts is confident in them and makes them believe. And there were even stats on fourth and three or shorter this year. The Lions were like 18 of 20 or something, and their percentage on that was higher than Michael Badgley's percentage on field goals of those distances. Okay, fine. That's all fine, and I get it. My first question is putting it in Goff's hands and throwing it in those situations, because the first one, he made the throw. Josh Reynolds just didn't catch it. Which gets back to, like, Josh Reynolds, you have Amon-Ra St. Brown on your team, you have Sam Laporta on your team, you have Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to Josh Reynolds? Like, okay, fine. So my one issue is with the play calls. Like, you were running at will anytime you put the ball in your running back's hands. Why are you not doing it there? So that's one. The second one is less the going for it on fourth. I want to know why that logic didn't apply at the end of the first half. They were up 21-7. They had a fourth and goal at the 3-yard line with 10 seconds to go. You're going to go up minimum 2 scores into the half. At that point, he looks at it and goes, we're taking the points. We want to go up 3 scores. Which, okay, I get why. Like, I fully understand that logic. Being up 17 is so dramatically different than being up 14.
Mm-hmm.
I got you. I'm with it. But also, you were going at 6.5 yards a play and 7 yards a carry. Give it to a running back. Punch it in. Like, you're going to get your 3 yards. Go punch it in. 28-7, the Niners aren't coming back. Bet my life on it. They're not coming back from 28-7. But 24-7, now it's, hey, you get a score to open the half, and now it's only 2 scores. Now you get a stop, another score, now it's 1 score. It's just, there's so much more life there at 17 versus 21. And I'm shocked they didn't go for the jugular in that spot. Under the impression of, hey, taking the points. And maybe it's because the field goal was so short. That's somebody on the internet said to me. It's like, well, it was a chip shot, easy field goal, guaranteed 3 points. Versus 45 and 48 yards, whatever the other ones would have been. 46 and 48, whatever.
But Kyle, for as much as he empowers his players to go out there and succeed, how about you empower your kicker? Because you might need him in this game. And he would have needed him at the end of that game, if somehow they would have gotten an onside kick and gotten some sort of, like, he would have needed him. I also thought, man, is he going to go for two? Because it's like the stupid factor is there. It is.
You that would have been nuts.
You get to the end of the game, it's like it's 30 two, so to 34.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, is this idiot going to go for two?
Yeah.
Because he's done stupid stuff like that all season long. Sure. And he'd go, well, the advanced statistics say, like, no, kick the extra point and live to fight another day, bro.
Right. And they did. So well, I do wonder if that fourth and three, if the first one had been the one after the Niners kicked the field goal to go up 24-10. The Lions then come down, they drive down to the Niners 28, fourth and three, they go for it. If they had been at the 18, do they still go for it, or are they rolling the field goal team out because it's a shorter field goal? That's the question I have. I was floored that they didn't go for it at the end of the first half, that they didn't try for a touchdown.
Like 80% totally of the shocked. High school teams out there have a kicker that can hit a 45-yarder. Like, I don't, like, if your kicker can't kick a 45-yarder, if you don't have confidence in him to mm-hmm. kick a 45-yarder, you probably should have signed a better kicker the day before. Like,
but that's good kickers are hard to find. So I don't.
Well,
we saw that
because the Packers don't have one, the Niners don't have one, and now we know the Lions don't have one. Nobody has a good kicker in the NFC going to the Super Bowl.
The Jake Moody thing is so weird to me because he gets his first kick against the Packers blocked, And I don't think it was going in anyway. No, it really probably not. We don't have enough space to know which way. It sure looked like he was going to hook it, though. But anyways, as someone who's hooked a lot of golf shots in my life, it had that vibe. He misses his first kick yesterday. And I'm sitting there, and I'm talking to the people around me. And shout out to my guy, Evan Giddings, from 95.7 The Game, by the way. Just a gem of a person. I'm talking to him. I'm sitting next to him. And it's like, you can't roll him out there again. You cannot confidently send number four onto the field. But they did it to start the third quarter. Bang. 24 all. Tied at 24. Mm-hmm. Sent him out there again. 33-yarder. Bang. Like, okay. At least he gets some credit for making those kicks. But you still don't feel good about him in a Super Bowl setting. Game on the line. Are you rolling number four out there to try and win it for you?
You know what it feels like?
I'm not there.
It feels like going into the NFC Championship game with Josh Johnson as your backup quarterback.
Oof.
Just saying. Like, if you don't have the confidence in the guy. Now, again, that's what I would feel like if I were the Lions going to the Super Bowl. But at this point, Shanahan, whether it's ill-advised or not, he does go back to Moody. He does try to empower his kicker because, heaven forbid, you're probably going to need that guy. At some point, you're going to need that guy. And he comes through, whether he missed one earlier or not, he came through. And it's because his coach, probably because his coach gave him a shot to kick a 50-something yarder last week to get you over the hump.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, you're trying to build confidence. And it can't just be you're building confidence in your offensive line or running back or whatever. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's a weird place we're in.
Speaking of, real quick, confidence in your running back, Christian McCaffrey was sick.
He was spectacular.
He was unbelievable. He created so many. He finished the game with 90 yards rushing, 20 runs for 90 yards. He also had 4 catches for 42 yards and just created yards that weren't there time after time after time. And I know that every discussion is going to be about Brock Purdy because the discourse is so
quarterback heavy.
Yeah, well, that, but what's the word I'm looking for? It's like polarizing. It's polarizing. Yeah. So I understand that that's, but Christian McCaffrey is the engine, dude. He is,
oh yeah,
unbelievable. And this is not like an anti Brock Purdy thing. Brock was fine yesterday, and he made plays to help them win. But in every big spot last night, it was like, okay, quick throw to Deebo Samuel. All right. 3rd and 3, Christian, go get it. 2nd and goal at the 2, Christian, go get it. Purdy, nowhere to go, check it down. Okay, here's McCaffrey. Here's a stiff arm, and here's a broken tackle, and now they're deep in the red zone. Every time they needed a big play last night, they got one from Christian McCaffrey. And it's why anybody who wants to go, yeah, Purdy's good, but like he's not the MVP of his own team. Like, yeah, it's very clearly Christian McCaffrey.
He was awesome. He was awesome, and there's also, late in the game, there was a late hit on him, and no call.
On McCaffrey?
Yeah, McCaffrey got hit late. A guy jumped on the pile and just hit him into the dirt, and you saw him like get up, and he was pissed.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had the big run where he flips out of bounds, and I worry whether he was fine.
Is it a shoulder stinger? He said he didn't go back into the game because he wasn't fully confident that he would hang on to the ball.
Oh, okay.
When trying to kill the clock. So
that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah, because it looked like he either hit his head or he landed on his shoulder hard. But either way, you could see like him run angry for a few plays.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like out of the norm for him. You know, he's not a back that's going to go for 225, or at least not anymore.
Yeah.
You know, he's also like on occasion he'll break a long one, but it's not usually the 80-yarder. It's, you know. So you have this guy who goes out there and it's just so workmanlike, and he has a way of contorting his body and not getting crushed most of the time. And then when he does get hit, you could see like, what are you doing here? All right, fine.
Yeah.
That's where you're going to be. Then I'm going to run through you all.
Yeah.
And that's what we got late in the game, where it was just like, he was so good.
Yeah. That 25-yarder was,
was
a nice cap to a really, really good game for Christian McCaffrey. You had an interesting comp for him on the rundown that I want to explore as we transition into some Kings talk, but I want to keep the 49ers hanging around here, okay, and we'll talk about that next. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.